had enough now.
I literally feel like crying.
Hello and welcome to ABW Radio. You might have guessed from that cheery little number that there's a few people that are a little bit upset this evening. Ah, dear. I thought I'd try and lighten the mood, but obviously that didn't work, did it? Anyway, good evening to everybody. I say good evening. It's not a good evening, but I'll try and make the best of what I can. I'm your host, Chris, and I'm joined by a merry bunch of crew. Not. I've got Tom with me. Evening, Tom. Thanks very much. I've also got Ellis making his return. What a night Ellis seemed to be.
Yeah, I'm glad to be back.
He's not coming back again.
And as for our other guest, well, she's never coming back again because it's all her fault because it's her debut. Good evening, Sadia.
Good evening.
Ah, dear. Right. Okay. This is going to be quite a tough one. I'm kind of laughing through it because if I didn't, I'd probably be hanging somewhere by now. Tom, let's start with you. You are the longest member of the existing crew as well as me. So we'll have to start with you. I mean, how do we go? I mean, where do we go from here? To give us your views on tonight.
Well, it started well, didn't it? Like, I think we got the response that we wanted in the first half, but quickly it just realised that we went one up, and we realised what an unfamiliar territory we were in. We were winning. I don't think we were used to be winning for quite a while, and we sort of realised, oh, what do we do here? And where usually you'd see us going on to push on for extra goals, it was more the fact that we were watching our back, and at the same time not being clinical in front of goal, which is ultimately always our downfall, and from then in the second half it just continued to go down after we conceded in the first half especially, and it was just a sack of shit, weren't it? I mean, we can't get around that. It was a sack of shit. He's muted himself as well, which is brilliant.
I pulled a Gimli there. I'm trying all the best I can to keep things cheery. Ellis, what's your thoughts? What's your overall feelings, thoughts? Anything particularly stand out from you for tonight?
Well, I agree with Tom, really. I think compared to the United game, we actually started quite well and we made a good few chances. It just wasn't really working for us. And like we said earlier, it's typical Arsenal. We start to get a bit worried and start to push men forward and make silly mistakes at the back and end up conceding. It just reminded me a lot of the Arsenal of old.
Or the Arsenal of current, maybe. just the Arsenal, really.
Yeah.
Well, Sadia, what's your views? Obviously, you're somebody that goes to a lot of games. Would I be right in saying that maybe, although you're a little bit poorly, tonight was maybe one that you're quite glad you didn't go to?
I am quite glad I didn't go, not because we lost, but because I just feel really ill from Manchester. I really like what Tom said there about, you know, we went one goal up and then it was like we weren't used to winning and we didn't know what the hell to do, we didn't know how to take it. We did create a good few chances tonight and I felt like Ozil could have just put balls in the box all day long, but it's just like, who's going to go at the end of it? Who actually wants it? But it was a, you know, it was a better performance than United, but it's not about that, it's about the winning, and we panic, and I don't understand why we panic. It's almost like, as soon as though we conceded the goal, it's like heads down, oh my God, like what do? We just like throw everything at it, and it just doesn't happen for us.
No, I think that's completely fair. Okay, I mean, there's lots to cover. There's lots of things that we're going to have to pore over here. But, Tom, as far as the performance goes, now, again, you know, rather than taking it all in individual incidents, because we'd be here till probably next week, but overall, I mean, it was a better performance than United, but it's still naive, isn't it? It still reeks of the same issues, same players making the same mistakes. The substitution was a little bit odd, to say the least. I'm trying to be kind there. Of course, we don't know that. I have to say on the substitution, we don't know what the situation there is. We don't know whether he was out, you know, completely done or not. But I mean, why do you think this keeps happening? It's very easy to say it's the manager, it's the players. Is this something? Is it deeper than that?
I think what what you can start with is you just start with a lineup, in my opinion, and where mistakes are being made. I mean, in what right and how did Alexis Sanchez deserve to start from his performance, not just last game, but in recent fixtures? And we've said this in our chat to each other. We've said that if he wasn't called Alexis Sanchez and if he didn't cost $32 million, he would not be starting. And it's such an injustice to Joel Campbell. I know that he started tonight, but he's not been starting recently. And for why Danny Welbeck didn't start ahead of Alexis Sanchez, I cannot wrap my head around, because Alexis Welbeck's been scoring, although I know he's not been fully fit, but there's no reason why you can't take him off later in the game. And by that point, Sanchez hadn't done too much. I mean, the shot they hit the post on, he should be burying that first. If he's on form, he hits that first time. It was almost a carbon copy of the Man City game at home last season, where he took it on his chest and hammered the volley in. And if he's on form, he scores that. You look at anywhere else, it was unfortunate that Gabriel had to play again. He made some good tackles during the game, interceptions, but he made some mistakes, ultimately the worst one being to lead to their second goal. It's just the lack of winning mentality. And what I couldn't believe when Wenger came out, and we all know, and I say this every week about my thoughts on Wenger, but I couldn't believe he came out and said that we have leaders in every position on the pitch. I found that absolutely baffling, because if there's one thing we're missing, it's one leader in that team that we're missing. One person, because they might pop up now and again in certain fixtures, but they don't pop up consistently. In my opinion, it's a team of cowards who really can't take responsibility for their own actions in some cases. Why we can't shoot more often, and it's such an ironic joke that we used to make, saying, we also did a running joke on Burkhart Wonderland being, should we shoot more? Well, yes, we fucking should. So I cannot get my head around why no one wants to take the responsibility to have a go at goal. I mean, it was great layback from Metazaka when Drew hit the bar, but he should be taking that header on first time. Ramsey and Bellerin had times on the right-hand side where they went to cross, where they could have had shots at goal. And for me, it was just an awful display of really quite trying to put the buck onto someone else all the time.
Yeah, preach, brother, preach. Just before I'll come to you, Sadia, next, just before I do, just to say to the chat guys and girls, you're all very welcome. Thank you very much for coming, and we appreciate you tuning in. Let's just keep it sensible, guys, all right? I'll come to my apology later, but for the time being, just be a bit sensible, all right? Anybody abusive, we'll have to put you into timeout, so just keep it pleasant, if you don't mind. Sadia, so... you, as I said before, you've been to a lot of these games. You go home and away. Do you get the impression that this kind of argument about some people think it's the manager, some people think it's the players, etc., 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 do you get the feeling that the players are now starting to question things? When you go to games, when you watch the games live, do you feel like the players are directionless? Do you feel like it's seeping? And is it sort of obvious in the flesh now? Or are we all just being fans, being passionate and blowing some things out of proportion? What do you think from being at games?
It's definitely like it's seeping through. Like people say, you know, it's Wenger, he doesn't get up. When does he ever get up? He's not directing the players. But how much more can he do that? Surely they're professional footballers. Surely they know what they're meant to be doing by now, no? And then at the same time, it's like, who's leading on the pitch? There's no one that wants it enough to start pointing. I mean, I know people criticise Flamini, but when Flamini's on the pitch, I mean, I know that's all he does, but he does sort of like try to conduct some sort of organisation, but there's just nothing. We lack so much leadership on the pitch. Like, just like even one player, like, just if you're going for the title, look at Leicester. If you're going for the title, all players are going for it. In our team, they're not. We're not all on the same level.
I think that's probably quite fair. And Ellis, what do you make of the... Is it as simple as a, I say as simple, that's the wrong word to use, but momentum goes a long way. When you're on a run, when things are good and you're performing, you go into games without even questioning. You know, if you make one mistake, you think, that's fine, we'll go again. Almost like, dare I say, what that lot did at the weekend, where you know they were behind, but you never really felt like they were going to lose. Do you think that maybe that after the Barcelona defeat, and more importantly after the defeat on Sunday, that the belief is going, and the players are basically buying into what a lot of us are now saying?
Yeah, I think not necessarily the Barcelona game, because no one was really expecting us to win that game, but I think after the United game, not just the players but the fans, a lot of people on Twitter and other social medias, well, they went from being either on the fence about Wenger or on the fence about the team and their chances, to really like just losing it. And me personally, I just, that defeat against United sucked it out of me. And I just think we're the team are getting into situations, they've had it all season long, where they've had chances to take advantage of the other teams dropping points and they just don't. And it just feels like we're clinging on. We're never really taking the opportunity. And we're not, like you say, we're not getting that momentum. We're not, like, I don't want to mention too much, but Spurs at the moment, they've won until now. They'd won six on the trot. We haven't got that momentum. We're not grinding at results. I don't care if we win a game ugly. I just want to win a game. And at the moment, it just seems just like we're clutching and no one is taking control. And we do lack leaders. We lack a person who's going to sit there and shout at people and just tell them to, like, up their game. There's no one really in that team. I suppose if you could pick anyone, you could probably pick Cech, but he's in goal and he's not going to influence the midfield or the strikers or anything like that. There's no one really there who's just grabbing other players and teammates by the scruff of the neck and saying, come on, let's do this. Like, we're in a chance here, but it just seems to be slipping away from us. We seem to be, like, getting into these positions where we can take advantage, and we just haven't got the character or the mentality to do that. And Wenger says this team has fantastic character and mentality, but I just don't see it. I just think there's been chances in the season where they've had the opportunity to show that, and we say it, like, earlier in the Man United game, half time's like, come on, guys, you've got 45 minutes to change your season. We just didn't, and it's the same thing with this game. We just can't seem to take the opportunities, and there's definitely a lack of character in the squad.
Yeah, I think it's fair. I think we're all being pretty fair, to be honest, thus far. I think they're all good points. Tom, just sort of steering it back towards the game for a minute, which is tough to do on a night like this evening, but looking at the game, there was some better improved performances. We didn't take chances, and that's something I just want to focus on with you for a minute. Now, you've got people that are in different camps. You've got some people saying, oh, you know, we should be buying this striker, and you and I have, of course, have said many, many times, you cannot buy what people don't want to sell, and that's tough. Do you think that it's as simple as just having another striker, or do you think we should look deeper at that? You know, should we be looking at a midfield or a wide position? Do you think that we're not clinical across the whole of the pitch? You can't just go, well, it's Giroud and it's Walcott, can you?
No, you certainly can't. I think that one thing we've said in the past about our team is that we used to have goals coming from all different parts of the pitch. And that's something we've really suffered from this season. I remember listening to a Tuesday Club podcast a while back, and Alan Davis ran through the amount of stats of players who'd scored, and it was really quite embarrassing. Giroud's really been the only one that's got goals, and for us now he's on, what, 10 games without scoring, so that shows you what the rest of the team are doing. Ozil's been really the only one finding goals recently and providing them, certainly. Without Sanchez's 25, 26 goals, whatever it was last season, we've suffered to win games. We've suffered to have anyone who could really turn a game on a turn of a dime. We've lacked that match winner performance from specific players in certain matches. I mean, Ozil has really tried to, and as Sadio said, he could ping the ball all day into the box, and we really didn't look like we were going to finish any of those chances. I think in terms of who we're going to be looking for this summer's, just not just in terms of management decisions, but in terms of player decisions and who you're going to bring in, it's absolutely massive. Because if you think about what's going on with other teams, with Man United possibly bringing in Mourinho, I mean, I hate the guy, but the guy can manage a team, and then you got Guardiola coming in. I know we've got our personal reservations and praises for him coming in at Manchester City, but he's still going to improve them no matter what. So for me, in terms of where you're going to get goals from, we need to improve our right-hand side or left, because I think that if you can get Alexis firing, his natural position is on the right. I think we do need a better striker if there's going to be one out there. I've said that I think Benzema will be available in the summer, simply because Real will probably end up going for Lewandowski. And I think we need a world-class centre-back. I really think that's somewhere we need to get our head right with, because Mertesacker, Gabriel, and even Koscielny's been guilty at sometimes this season of making mistakes. And I think you just need a leader at the back to really marshal that defence consistently throughout the season, not just in popping up in certain matches.
Yeah, I think that's, again, very fair. Sadio, with regards to what I want to try and work out a little bit from this conversation is where... What part do you think this season sort of took this fall, or when do you think particularly that the fans started turning? Because the atmosphere has been pretty toxic for a while. And yeah, I know some people would say, well, that's because the team have been poor, etc. And I do understand that. I understand frustrations. But it seems to have ramped up of late. But it's been a bit wonky for a while. Can you sort of put your finger on when that happened? You know, was it the Chelsea game? Was it earlier on than that? Or is it just people going, well, we quote unquote bottle it every season, so we will do it again? I mean, is that fair in your opinion?
I think this season, like, people were a lot more optimistic than before. And then obviously maybe it was in the summer with the spending and the Benzema chasing and, you know, all that drama. And then only signing Petr Cech, and then repeatedly in the media, you know, people saying, you know, no outfield player, and it's just repeatedly, you know, how much money we have in the bank. I think it's a collective of things, really. But we, this season, we've had opportunities over and over again. Even tonight, we had an opportunity. Leicester drew last night. City were losing to Liverpool today. And Spurs lost to West Ham. So the opportunity was there and we never took it. And I think throughout the season we've had opportunities and we've not taken them. And it's frustration when you go to a game. Like, I travelled all the way to Manchester, really, really sick. And you go there and you watch that, and it's really, really disheartening. And you try to remain positive. But when you're presented with, you know, a shit performance, it's just really hard. So I think that more and more people are probably seeing the light, as some might say, in regards to, you know, Arsene Wenger's decisions. Like, for example, his substitution decisions. Like, we know his subs are not, you know, you get absolutely baffed by some of his decisions. But I think more and more people, like a lot of the younger fans, are beginning to realise a lot more.
Yeah, it does feel like a massive sea change. Ellis, with regards to, again, just drifting back to the game tonight, this is in no way a justification of any of it. I just want to sort of give Swansea a little bit of credit. They had the perfect game plan. That, you know, that much you can say. And just looking at particularly the first goal, kind of want to get your thoughts on this, because I saw a lot of people immediately jump on Per Mertesacker, where for me that was completely the fault of Hector Bellerin. And, you know, I'm not trying to diss Hector, but he completely lets the guy go, mainly because he's pushed way too far up the pitch in a position where it's not as if we're at a high speed break where he needs to get forward. We've just got possession. Meza is fouled, in my opinion, anyway, but it's not given, and then Hector's caught up the pitch. So do you think that some people, particularly with situations like this, that they want a scapegoat, and are you concerned that there's becoming a lot of scapegoats all of a sudden?
Well, yeah, I think I have to agree with you there with the whole goal situation. Hector Bellerin and Monreal, they both push far too up the pitch. And I think that's to do with our midfield isn't really effective at the moment. They're not. I think the fullbacks have to get forward to help create chances. And that's what they're doing. They're getting up there, and then that ball gets turned over. And about a second, we all know his weakness is his pace. And he's left stranded there. He's going to get in trouble. So it is down to Hector Bellerin to recognise that and utilise that as a defence, as a team. You need to be in the right position and help your team out. And there is a lot of scapegoats. And Per Mertesacker got it a lot, especially after Barcelona. But you take him out for, like you said it on the radio show earlier, so I won't go into it too much, but you take him out for the Man United game and everyone's calling for Gabriel to be in there, and he comes in and he makes a couple of mistakes in that United game. So you keep making these scapegoats and you keep pushing for other players to come in, and sometimes the players that you think are better, and Tom put it perfectly in a couple of tweets about Mertesacker and Gabriel, really, compared to each other, strength-wise, like, Per Mertesacker's strengths completely outweigh Gabriel's. He's a lot better at position, he's a lot better at the way he plays. Anything that Gabriel's got on Per is pace. And sometimes it's not all about pace. It is about how you position yourself and how you function as a team and how you communicate with your back four. But, yeah, I think you're right. There's a lot of scapegoats. Like, Ramsey's getting a lot of it. Per gets it. Even Gabriel got against Man United because he's made those two mistakes. I think as a whole, the team is underperforming. A lot of players are underperforming. You can even go and say Alexis isn't performing anywhere near to what we know he's capable of. But the fact that he is Alexis Sanchez, he's not going to get the criticism like other players do. I just think it's symptomatic of a whole of a team that are underperforming. So it's easy to pick weakness and pick faults of players. One, as a whole, we are underperforming. It's a team effort. Football's a team game. It's not just one player. It's the whole team. And just to highlight the goal that we conceded, it's not just Per's fault. It is that back four. There are four people in that defence. It's not just his fault entirely for that.
No, no, we don't half love somebody to poke a finger at, don't we? But Sadia, just on the playing squad as a whole, and don't worry, I'm sure everyone's itching for me to come to the manager. I'll touch on it later on. Don't worry. But with regards to players themselves, does this look to you like we've had this squad for quite a while? You know, we kind of cut out that so-called deadwood, the Danielsons, the Giroud days, and we brought in, arguably we've upgraded a lot of those players. Do you get the concern that some of the players that are in this current side believe their own hype? And maybe because of the, I wouldn't say lack of, I know people say lack of signings is the fact, but not so much lack of signings, but more the fact of lack of quality signings, you know, players that you think would really push these players to outperform themselves. Do you think that there's a little bit of that in the current squad where they know they'll play, so, you know, they don't really have to improve their game, so they believe in their own hype a bit? Do you think that's fair or a bit harsh?
I think that's a little bit fair. I think there's a lot of complacency within some of our players. Theo Walcott maybe is a little bit of an example. I know he got dropped today, but when Giroud was injured for that little while, he knew there was nobody else and he knew that he'd have a place up front. I kind of agree with that. Yeah, there's a sense of complacency and there's no competition. Like even with Giroud, there's no competition for Giroud really. I know Welbeck's come back. I can't remember what game it was, but Giroud was absolutely brilliant. It was a home game. I think it was Dio had just come back. I can't remember what game it was. And because there was a little bit of competition because Theo was coming back in, Giroud was giving it 100%. Why can't he give it 100% when he's in an Arsenal shirt on the pitch for us every single game? Why can't these players do it? I don't understand. Do you not want it? It's like on Sunday, Theo, I mean, he was making no runs. There was space, but where was Theo? It's like, Theo, do you want it? Do you want to play for us, Theo? And it's like, no, I don't, because I can just trotter around and I'd still get my, I'd still collect my paycheck by the end of the week. That's what it seems like to me. And as a paying fan that goes home and away, it's really, really frustrating and it really pisses me off that they don't give it 100.
And you can see it sometimes, can't you? You can just sort of, there's a very fine line between lack of confidence, which I think Oxlade-Chamberlain has gone through, and just sheer lack of willpower, which I think Theo Walcott is suffering from right now, and I don't know why. And he's a prime example of a player that I think has gone stale, like just completely.
Yeah, no. Can I just? I actually think there's something else wrong with the Ox. Like you watch him, like even like when he's been warming up, you watch him, like you glimpse over and look at the Ox, and there's something else going on in his life. I just do not believe that his head's not there at all. And obviously, yeah, that obviously must play a part with him being confident on the pitch. But we can't, how long can we hold on to the Ox for and carry him as a passenger? We are too nice. We need to, maybe sell him in the summer. I don't know, but he's not doing it for us, and we need to be up there, and we need to be competing for the league. I'm sorry, but we can't be carrying players like Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain and potentially Theo Walcott, who is, again, I'll say it again, trotting around, not making the runs that he should be making. They need to step up or go.
Yeah. Yeah, I do agree. I think there's too many that are just there, basically. Are just there. Tom, let's come back again to tonight, and again, it's just so many things you could go over. when people were sort of saying, oh, you know, Swansea are dog shit, Swansea are terrible, all this, and yeah, I can understand those people that are saying that. I know they've made six changes, et cetera, et cetera. They're in a relegation fight. You know, these points were massive for them. And I think that they obviously got the goals they got, and they sat back on them. The fact that they scored late was the killer, I think, because you never really got the feeling that we could even get a point out of it. With the other results that have happened this week, we're all kind of sat here now going that it's going to take a massive, massive swing of luck and form, which I don't think we're capable of, if I'm completely honest now. Where do you think it stands now? I mean, how do you think it sits now with regards to Tottenham and Leicester in particular?
You have to look at it. So Leicester are the only team that's technically gained a point. City have lost, Spurs lost, we lost. So what we've theoretically done is just given ourselves one less game out of the 10 we have now to get the points back. You add that to the mentality of the team's obviously going to get worse. The confidence has been struck. And then factor that in with the fact we've now got to travel to our biggest rivals in possibly what we were discussing as the biggest North London derby since what you went back to when Gazza scored that free kick in the semi-final. So the mentality has to change. Like from what we saw and we spoke about on the last radio, we're saying there needs to be some sort of meeting between the players and management to sort out what the hell is going on with the team's mental state. And I don't think that occurred from the performance that we saw, maybe with the slight response at the beginning, but I think something needs to occur within the days between now and Sunday. So it's really quite disappointing how we've let this go, and I'm sure we're going to come on to the manager, but it just feels like a team who's not used to challenging for the title and is used to just doing enough to stay in the top four. And when it comes to actually pushing that last little bit to try and get over the line, not just to get fourth place, but to get first place, we're not equipped to do it. And we haven't got enough quality throughout the team. And the thing about Ozil is, like, we bought the provider without buying the finisher first, if you know what I mean. It's as if we bought the pair the wrong way around, and we really should have focused on buying someone who is going to score and then get the person in who's going to provide that for us. Because as Sadio said, and I've brought it for a second time, he can hit balls into the box all day long, but if you've got no one there to finish it, who's going to do it?
Yeah, that's fair. I want to just it's not really going to lighten the mood in any way, shape or form, but I said to our panellists before, I was chatting to my mate Gaz afterwards, who's is currently in Florida. Hello, Gaz. And he said that the midfield in particular was a pain tonight, and he said that there was no cohesion, and, quote, you could hunt bears in our midfield. That made me smile. But, Ellis, it's a problem for me, our midfield, because, you know, you can point fingers at the strikers, and you can say that they're not clinical, and you know, to a degree, I think even they would probably admit themselves that they're not in the rich vein of form. But losing a player, as we did with Santi Cazorla, losing a partnership, as we did when we lost Francis Coquelin, playing a player in Aaron Ramsey who, you know, whether you love him or you hate him, has not been good for months, let's be perfectly frank about it. Bringing in a player who, I can only imagine the manager thought would acclimatise quicker than he has in El Nene, and obviously that, you know, that's not happened yet. That midfield, it's got a big part to do with where we are right now. Do you agree?
Yeah, well, it's weak at the moment, isn't it? It's since that, is it November when Santi Cazorla and Coquelin got injured in that month? Like you say, that partnership that we sort of stumbled across worked really well. You've got Coquelin, who can sit back and protect that back four, and you've got someone in Santi Cazorla who's so technically gifted with both feet, he can sort of get himself out of a sticky situation, and he can sort of play that deep lion playmaker role and get the ball out and start attacks from inception that Coquelin's like made. Like, when those two play together, Santi Cazorla would be on the ball, he could get past a couple of players, and he'd always have Coquelin there for the option, or Coquelin would be there to sweep up the mess and then pass it out to Cazorla, who'd then start up an attack. And with Ramsey and Coquelin, it doesn't seem to work, and Coquelin's only just started to get back into the team. Before that, you had sort of the makeshift midfield of Ramsey and Flamini, and even though they did get that result against Man City back in December, it's just not working. It just seems a bit weak. I think Ramsey, like you say, he's been out of form, so it's not working there. He needs he probably needs time out of the team, but we can't afford to take him out. If you take him out, you've either got to put Coquelin and Elneny together, and it's obvious, I think, that Wenger doesn't fancy Elneny in that position, otherwise he would have played him before, because he's only played against Burnley and Hull in the FA Cup. That's the minutes he's got. So he's obviously doesn't think he's ready for a Premier League game. So I don't know. It's worrying. It's really worrying. It's one of those areas that a few seasons ago we were stocked with players of good quality that could play in the midfield, and now it seems that this summer coming we are going to have to try and get someone in of that quality, because even if Sané Cazorla does come back fit, he's not getting any younger. You need someone who's going to be able to sort of play the role he does alongside Coquelin, or you need to try and form some other sort of partnership between midfielders there. And I think the closest person we've got to Cazorla already in the team is probably Jack Wilshere, but whether he can get a run of games together and be fit is another question. Like, it doesn't look likely, does it, given his track record? So it may mean going into the transfer market, try and find someone like that, or like I said, try and figure out another way of building a partnership in that sort of two, in the formation hold midfielders, but it's not quite hold midfielders, but those two midfielder roles there, I think, is something that we just struggled with, and it's too easily bypassed. And I, like you say, it is probably the start of many of our problems in this recent bad run of form.
Yeah, it's sort of full-scale change needed. Sadio, we said before we came on tonight, just before we went live, I gave you the table, and obviously Manchester City, who you know have equally shit the bed quite spectacularly the last few weeks. I know we're not here to talk about them, but they're just behind us. Manchester United got a late winner tonight. All of a sudden, it's a bit of a worry, isn't it, that we're kind of actually now beginning to look over our shoulders. And I know that some people have already said, well, I hope we don't finish in the top four. I mean, that for me is just ridiculous talk, because you know, we were here last year. We know what that would do if that happened. But is it a bit of a worry for you that all of a sudden people have basically given up on the title talk now, and they're now going, well, Christ, we've got to start winning soon, otherwise we're not even going to be in the top four?
Yeah, it is a bit worrying, because at the beginning of the season, you know, and when we was top,
Sadio's gone quiet. Tom, pick up the reins for a minute. Hopefully Sadio will come back.
I repeat the question? I was sorting out chat.
Okay. Just about the looking over the shoulders element, you know, the top four situation.
Oh, yeah. Well, City have got a game in hand, first of all, so I'm not sure exactly what it's against. It's either Everton or Newcastle or someone like that. But with the form they're in, you never know what that result's going to be. I think it is worrying that we have to look at the teams behind us over the teams in front of us. That just shows how much we literally have shat the bed, isn't it? It's just disappointing that now Man United have picked up some form with their second string team, and now we've got to keep an eye on them while looking ahead to playing against Spurs, where we could ultimately pretty realistically and unfortunately drop points again. And then we were talking about Chelsea and like saying how awful they were before the start of the season, and now they're up into 10th, and they're within 10 points of the top four now, which is easily recoverable with the form that they're in and beating all the teams around them. So it's really quite an issue, and it needs to be changed instantly.
Fair points. Sards, are you back with us? We lost you there for a minute.
I don't think so.
Nope, she's dead. She's run off.
She's given it off, yeah.
Right, I'm done.
Who can blame her?
Let's nip back to Ellis then when I try and get Sadio back. So, Ellis, with regards to the sort of the situation as to where we are heading into Saturday, we've heard tonight that Peter Cech has apparently done his hamstring. Yes, it doesn't rain, it pours. And apparently Laurent Koscielny is also going to miss that game. I'm not saying we will. You know me, I'm always the optimist. I shall tune in and no doubt be thoroughly cheesed off when it doesn't work out. But it would be very Arsenal now to shove it all up our bits and go and beat Spurs now, wouldn't it? Now, Spurs have lost tonight to West Ham. Their momentum is slightly halted, you know, for the time being at least. Do you personally give us any chance, you know, on Saturday? Because I do, just purely because it's, you know, it's so batshit crazy. It's the sort of thing you could see us doing.
Yeah, you've only got to look back to when we were in the group stages and we lost our first two games in the group stages, and it was easy to say, I think people said it before, oh, we'll probably go and beat Bayern Munich. And even though it was completely, and not at least something that people wouldn't even consider, it happened. So it's definitely a possibility. Me personally, this is probably the only North London derby I've never really looked forward to. Like, I know they've lost against West Ham, but they've been in good form. They seem to be getting points, and we just look. I don't know. We just I don't know what's wrong with us. It's we get to this moment in the season, and it's a bit of deja vu. But the team has changed so much since then. We've got players like Cech in our team. Ozil, Sanchez. Cech's won the league with Chelsea on numerous occasions. Ozil's won the league in Liga with Real Madrid. And we've got players who have got World Cup medals in our squad. So it is, you'd think, like, the excuses were made back in seasons ago when we had young players, and Wenger tried to make that crop of young players, saying, well, they haven't got experience in these situations. But you'd like to think that the likes of Sanchez, Ozil, Cech do have experience in this, but it's, I don't know. I haven't got much hope for the North London derby, but you're completely correct in saying it'd be typically Arsenal to go out and win this and just keep our hopes up a little bit longer. So yeah, I don't really know what to make of it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, and for the person who said I'm the white tie, A, that's bordering on racist, and B, that's not true because I can't afford all the merchandise he has. Sadia, are you back with us?
I am, sorry.
Yay, that's all right, it's not your fault. Damn internet gremlins. I wouldn't blame you for running away, to be honest. I'm gonna kind of throw a bit of a grenade at you now. Everybody's desperate to talk about the manager. I can't for a minute think why. It's not like our fans to talk about a managerial situation at the club. What's your view? I mean, as again, you go to games, you sit and stand with people that are very sometimes abusive, sometimes fair, sometimes not. What do you think of the situation right now?
Very angry at Wenger. It's really difficult for me because all I know is Arsene Wenger. I was very young when George Graham was managing Arsenal, so but I do hear it a lot, you know, about George Graham. But it's becoming very, very frustrating to defend him in any sort of way, shape, or form. I don't understand. I mean, it comes from the top, right? It's a bit like when you're at school, you're gonna learn from your teacher, or you're gonna pick up vibes from your teacher. It's like when you play football at school, you sort of look up to your coach and you listen to him and you watch him, and you go out there and you perform for your coach, you know, or you behave for your favorite teacher. Maybe that they're not the best examples, but it's frustrating. He's becoming. The logic, I don't get it anymore. He had an opportunity in the summer, no, to go and grab a striker, and it never happened. And I feel now, not only him, but all of, you know, players like Mesut Ozil, Alexis Sanchez, I feel like they're suffering it as well. It's like I said, it's just becoming really frustrating to defend the bloke, and I don't have anything good to say about him at the moment. I really don't.
And at home games in particular, is it? I mean, are people sat there waiting for us to fail? Are people sort of turning up in the hope that, not the hope, that's the wrong word. Do you get the impression that some people, whether they be old, young, you know, whatever, are going to games thinking and turning up almost waiting for something to go wrong, waiting for somebody to fail, somebody to slip, somebody to make a mistake, a manager to make the wrong substitution, whatever. Do you get the impression that some people are actively paying to go just to vent rather than get behind the team, however hard it is? Do you feel that some people are doing that around you in particular?
Not at home games, but at away games, yes.
Really?
That's... feel that people go, you know, or maybe they do. I mean, where I sit at home games, I don't ever hear any.
Oh no, we've lost your game.
Oh, no.
just so that it's getting to an interesting point there. That really interests me. It really interests me if that's the case. I mean, I would have thought the away support in particular. I suppose
that's what I was interested about.
I suppose, though, at least what you would say is when you go away from home, I guess it is the diehard, so maybe there is that. Right, we'll try and get started back again.
Yeah, if I'll make a point on the crowd, because
yeah,
what she was saying about, like, because when I go reasonably often, and when I am in the home crowd, is she back? Or is she dropping out again?
She's dropping out again.
when I do go, I don't hear people around me, even when we're not winning, like, physically slating the club at all, to be honest. It's, you hear the booing on a bad decision or at the end of a match when the result's not gone our way, but during the match, and to be honest, at the start of the game, I was surprised how positive it was inside the stadium, because there was actually quite a few, there was a lot of chanting going on, really trying to get the team on, and I really think, actually, that the players let the fans down in the ground. So I personally was quite impressed with how the crowd reacted when we were at the start of the match. Obviously, because of the change with when Campbell went off, you would see and hear the amazing, like, reaction that was given in terms of a negative way, and it was quite overawing, I think, to the other players, and whatever effect that had on them, I really don't know. But I honestly don't hear negative, like, abusive shouting when I go. It's more of, if you do shout, and this is what you came up with last time, Chris, on the radio, is that if you do shout specific things, people sort of look at you as if you're mad. So it's odd when you get that.
It is, yeah, it is. It really is. Right, let's... Sadi, are you back again? You know?
God.
Hey.
You know what it is, don't you? It's all those fans that we mentioned, certain away fans that live round about where you live. That's what it is. All those people that have gone to those pubs, they're cutting your wires, I swear. Do you want to just pick up on where you were about the fans, the away fans?
I didn't mean all away fans, by the way.
No, of course.
I can't want... God.
Pitchforks and stuff.
I go with a guy to home games. I was meant to go with him today, but obviously I didn't. And he's outright Wenger out. He's old school. And I feel sometimes I hate to say it, but some of them do, they sort of adapt their opinion about Arsene Wenger to just have, because they have an agenda, they just want him gone.
No. Every time, it's just a good point, and she's like, nah, fuck it.
So, somebody sat there going, I'm not gonna have this, I'm gonna cut her off at every single opportunity.
She gets a rod out, reels you in, and then fuck it. No.
And I know. Well, she has sort of segued, because what she was just about to say then leads me into this, because I think what she said there is bang on. I do think that some people do have agendas, rightly or wrongly, you know, that's up to them.
But they're not the same.
Oh. No, it does that every time.
It does that, unless you come back and go again. Okay. Alice, what do you make of that? Do you think some people do have agendas, full stop? I mean, would we all be calling for, or I say we all, would those that are calling for the managers to be gone, would they be saying that, and I know it's a hypothetical, but had we have won, I don't know, let's say we'd have beaten United and we'd have beaten Swansea, those same people that were slating him, you know, pre-season or pre the last FA Cup win, etc., would they still be saying the same? Do you get the impression that it's just a movement of when things go badly, or do you think it's that these people, you know, I don't know when the worm turned, but they seem to have it in for him, and that's just it now. Do you think that's the way it is?
Yeah, there seems to, like, I get an image of, in my head, of people sort of sat in a cave, like, waiting for these, like, horrible results, and then, like, bang, get on fucking Twitter. Oh, yeah, he's done this, he's a fraud, and I hate people that call him a fraud.
Oh, don't get me started on that.
Really gets on my nerves. Like, there is a fair few people who are sort of sat on the fence. Like, I'm one of them. I am sat on the fence, and I can see arguments from both sides, and there are people who want Wenger out, who have a perfectly good, legitimate argument for why they want him out. And there are people that like Wenger and support Wenger because they are supporters, it's in the name, and they have perfectly good, valuable points. So I do sit on the fence and I can see both sides, but there are a certain group of fans who sit on Twitter and they seem to wait for something shit to happen or something bad, and they come crawling out. And they're like, see, I told you he was a fraud, or Lef fraud, as they like to call him, which gets on my tits even more. But it just seems that they've obviously got something in for Wenger, and he does have flaws, but he does have strengths, and they do seem really reluctant to praise him when he does something well, but as soon as he does something wrong, they're straight on his back, and it does really frustrate me, because I think you just need to look at it a bit open-minded. Like the game that's just happened now, on Twitter after the result, I was fuming, I was angry, and I can understand people being angry. Sometimes you just need to step away from Twitter, step away from Facebook, step away from anything like that, and just digest it a bit more, think and analyse it more before going out and making these ridiculous statements saying that he's a senile old man. He's not a senile old man. He is one of the best managers in the world, and if he was to walk out of Arsenal right now, I'm sure there'll be teams and clubs or national teams that would want him to be their manager. Yes, he has his weaknesses, and yes, he does frustrate me, as I'm sure he frustrates some of you guys and some of the people in the chat, but I'm losing my words now, but it just frustrates me when people get on his back. Like, I think if we fail to win the league this season, it is a really big missed opportunity. It seems like the football gods have gone, right, you know, Chelsea, they're going to do crap. United, they're going to do crap. Man City, they're going to be a bit off and on. They're not going to be up there. And it seems like we've been given this opportunity. We've not grasped it. But still, you can't, like, Dan, who plays in the Pro Clubs team for the ABW Pro Clubs team, he made a perfectly good point, and he does get a lot of stick on Twitter and he gets into these arguments with people. But it's not solely Wenger's fault. I know he does buy the players. I know he's a big factor of this team. But it's not just him. It's the board, it's the players, and it's the manager. Like I said earlier about it being a team sport, it's not just the 11 men on the pitch. It's the people that employ the manager, and it's the manager that picks the players. And there's a lot of things going wrong at the club, and it's not just solely Arsene Wenger's fault. And I just, like you said, there are people there who they want him out of the club, and they'll just sit there, and anything he does wrong, they'll be straight on it, and they'll be pushing their agenda, and they'll just literally look for anything they can find that for his agenda. They seem to lose the actual what's going on. They just seem to lose it and just be like, no, I want Wenger out. If this thing matches my agenda to Wenger out, I'm going to go on about it. But if Wenger does something well and we manage to beat a team, like say Bayern Munich or Man City, like, to be fair, except for Man United, we've not lost to any of the teams in the top five at the moment.
Yeah, which is the same thing he was beaten with last season, which is kind of funny. I think it's fine. A couple of people have said you made some really good points, and I totally agree with them. I think that the couple of things I just want to address before I come to Tom on this is that I see it hosting this show. I see it every single time I come on this show. I've been called a Wengerin, a Wenger sympathizer, you know. Just for those people that don't understand about me, let me tell you a little bit about me. I've supported this club for 24 years. Now, that might not seem like very long to some of you. But I have supported this team for 24 years. I've been to home games. I've been to away games. I've been when it was good. I've been when it was terrible. I was there in the last season of George Graham's era when we were fucking appalling. You know, there is no way around it. Danny, obviously, who all of you know, is older than me. He's been around when it was absolutely terrible. Raj from our podcast, Jason, Steve, Jeff Arsenal, we've all been there when it's been worse than this. And I do think that to a certain degree we were spoiled. I do think that, and that, you know, that doesn't mean that was, you know, the manager's fault in any way. I think we did have a hugely successful side, and the Invincibles was almost a platform that we felt we could build on. And I do understand some of the people's sort of viewpoints, that they just feel that we've gone a bit stale, that we have maybe sort of reached that part where Arsene just can't quite get what he once had back. And I think that argument is completely fair. The people I object to on this show, and Danny's just made a very good point there, Bruce Rioch, Christ on a bike, other than Dennis Bergkamp, my word. And that was a David Dean signing, but still, I digress. The thing that frustrates me is that, I mean, Jacko's just put it in the tweet there, Jeff is deluded. Jacko, you have no right to say that about somebody you don't know. You have no right to say that about people that you don't know personally, and that you don't know their backgrounds, about how they support the club, about what they expect. And the thing that frustrates me the most about our fan base is that if you criticise the manager, then you'll Wenger out. And if you say, actually, I can see this from another perspective, you're an AKB. I just want to make it crystal clear. I am neither. You know, I support Arsenal Football Club, and I will do until there's no breath left in my body, and I will continue to piss people off regularly for choosing football over probably more important things in life half the time. But you know, we all support the same club, and I think that if you have every right to criticise decisions, you have every right to criticise certain things that happen. A lot of Leicester fans and indeed the media said that Claudio Ranieri was a fraud when he was appointed Leicester manager. I don't know if anyone is aware of this. They're top of the table. So I just think that sometimes you need to choose your words a bit more carefully. I think you need to have a bit more respect for people that have put us into the position we're in. And at the same time, if you want change, I totally accept that. I totally understand that. And don't get me wrong, there is parts of this club I would change tomorrow if I could. And believe you me, it starts way above Arsene Wenger's head. It starts right at the very top of this club, you know, from the ownership to the, you know, to the very top of the club. There are so many things I would change. And believe you me, I've had people sat in the chat room tonight saying, oh, well, you know, you come in here and you make a mockery of us. You know, you play music, you laugh, and you're taking the piss out of us. Listen, guys, I'm as fucked off as all of you lot. I'm as pissed off as all of you lot. And the sad part of this is that I've come to almost get to the stage where I kind of just go, oh, well, that's Arsenal. And that's the sad part. That's the really sad part of this. But what I'm not going to do is go on to Twitter and immediately launch at people and abuse people and scream and shout at people, because it doesn't change a thing. And unfortunately, where we are right at this particular stage in time is, you know, we're not a title winning side. We've probably blown the best chance we've had for a number of years to win a title. The squad needs to be changed. In my opinion, 7 or 8 of these players are not as good as all of us thought they were. I do think that the manager is starting to get to the point where, you know, he has to look at himself now and think, you know what, maybe, just maybe, I can't take this club forwards. And if that's the situation we get to, fine. But to just sit there and bang your drum and say, oh, let's get Simeone, like it's a shopping market that you just walk into. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's the same with players. Tom, I've said my piece, so I'll let you have the floor. I mean, where do you follow that?
That's just...
No, I mean, you hit the nail on the head, haven't you, really? There's not much more you can add to that.
Just wanted to make it clear, you know, because I'm saying, that I'm arsed in. And a lot of people, I see it with Jeff, and, you know, I totally appreciate Jeff. Jeff sometimes invites it on himself, bless him.
Yeah.
But, you know, he will always say, you know, that the manager is not above criticism. Nobody is above criticism. You know, it just baffles my mind.
I just think what gets to the point in the club where how many people were guilty of... First of all, I've had a few people tweet me and go, can't wait to hear you defend Wenger. And people have gone in the chat and say, can't wait for Chris to be positive about this. When after a defeat is your first thought that, what sort of fan mindset goes, oh, I can't wait to say after we've lost... to Jeff Arsenal or whatnot, and say, oh, what do you think about that now? Wenger has to go. Like, you should be supporting the team comes first. Be annoyed, swear, and curse about the team, because that's what eventually has caused you this upset. But don't ever go at fans because of their opinions. But anyway, that's my little mini rant. But like, the stuff about Wenger, I've obviously been a huge Wenger supporter, that's not in a way over Arsenal. I'm a massive Arsenal fan, and I support the club, and I support the manager. I just think that if he doesn't win the league this year, I think that what it shows is that you have a teams above us who Spurs don't really count because they've spent a lot of money as well, and I think that Pochettino should just be as embarrassed as Wenger is if he doesn't, because they've spent as if even more than us with the millions they got from Bale and on from that. Leicester have proved that you need a team with leaders, you need a team with spirit, you need a team with belief that can go on and can win a league with the right players in the right positions and with the right manager to keep the consistent winning formula in that side. If we don't win the title, I think it would be right for Wenger to turn around and say, okay, I've now had the money. I've had the financial stability and financial competitiveness with other teams, and say that it hasn't worked. Maybe I am not capable of doing this anymore. And what both me and you, of Chris has said, is who? Who is there that can come and take over from Wenger? We've said it multiple occasions, and I'm not going to lie and say that I am really quite shit in the bed about what happens after Wenger, and not because I think the guy is an angel and a saint, but simply because I've looked at teams like Chelsea, and I've looked at teams like Man United, and I've seen that when they've gone from a manager like Mourinho, who's had initial success and then left the team in dire straits, or a team like Man United, who's had Sir Alex Ferguson and has won leagues with teams which necessarily shouldn't have even won that league and didn't deserve to, but they still did because he got the best out of those players. And they've gone to David Moyes and then to Louis van Gaal, and they've struggled to maintain a place in the top four. They've struggled to compete with the Premier League and in Europe and in the domestic cup competition. I mean, Man United haven't won the FA Cup since early 2000s. And I'm really worried of what's going to happen if someone else comes in, and it's going to be a big step, and it's going to have to be someone. But ultimately, do we, like, Wenger goes, yeah. Everyone gets their wish. Wenger goes. But in my eyes, he is not the problem with the club. The problem with the club is who's upstairs from Wenger. Wenger is a face to the club, and he's the big target everyone has, and everyone can see, and everyone can flow their vile shit and whatever they want to say about him. But ultimately, we're not making the decision about who's going to come in next. The board makes the decision about who comes in next. And if they're comfortable with a manager who keeps us at the same level with relatively competing, but when he has the money, still drops off, do we really trust those people to employ someone that is going to compete for titles and not someone they're comfortable with? Are they going to pick someone who's outside their comfort zone, someone they're not used to having in management? Because they've employed people on the board, like Kroenke's son, who doesn't know anything about football, ultimately, just to satisfy themselves. So that's where I go with, is that I'm really worried, because I'm worried they're going to bring in the wrong person, because ultimately it's not up to us, it's going to be up to them.
Well, you're spot on there, Tom. Like, just going back to that, like, if you look at our board, and then if you look at Man United's board, like, Ferguson's on that board now, and they fuck up with Moyes and potentially LVG. So what's to say that our board are going to make a better decision than people who are actually a bit more football-minded?
Yeah, I agree. Sadio, are you alive? I keep worrying. I almost dare not to speak to you because I keep thinking I'm going to jinx it.
And I'm really scared that Danny's listening, so I'm not going to mention Apple products.
But no, please do. Just because it winds Danny up more than anything else. We were just sort of touching upon the Arsenal debate, the structure and whatnot. Just give us your views on how you see changing. Do you think the ball's the problem as well?
I do, and I tweeted it the other day, and I said that Kroenke is like a disease that's just running through our club, and he really is, and I agree with most of what Tom said there. It is from the top, and it is scary, because you do think, okay, at the moment, Arsene Wenger has a certain amount of control, but when he goes, these guys are going to choose who replaces him. Arsene Wenger understands Arsenal, he understands football, he's won things for us, and it's just like, Stan Kroenke, I mean, he's what, a cowboy that wears a wig? I mean, like, it just gives you it gives you zero confidence on what the fuck he's going to do next. He is unpredictable. Who just wants to buy loads of ranches in places. And I know nothing about him, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I know that he owns a ranch and that he, he's taken money out of our club. He wears wigs. You sometimes see him at a game with a blanket. I mean, the guy knows nothing about football. He's brought his son in who knows nothing about football. Mediocrity might as well be his middle name, because the clubs that he owns, the American football clubs that he owns?
Yeah.
I mean, they're just nothing, basically. They do nothing. Is that what he's going to do to our club? Just seriously, get the hell lost.
Do you think, let me ask you this then, do you think that if the flip side of this argument, and I kind of agree with what most of what you said, I mean, I don't know Stan Kroenke, I never will. He speaks very highly of me, apparently. But but I mean, I don't know the guy inside and out, but he's clearly a businessman, and he's seen an opportunity and he's taken it. Do you think that it would be better under somebody like an Usmanov? I mean, we are the same club, are we not, that that slated Chelsea for buying success, that slate Manchester City for buying success. One of my best mates is a Man City fan, and something that really struck me the other day was that I texted him and said, oh, congratulations on your victory over Liverpool, whatever. And he's like, yeah, he said, it's good. And I said, oh, you don't seem very happy. And he said, to be perfectly honest, mate, I haven't been happy since the first title we won, because I just feel like we don't have any heart at our club anymore. Mm. And he said, I love the club, and I'm thankful for what the owners have done, and they're doing great things in the community, etc. But he said, it just feels a little bit like we've bought it. And you know, do you think that is, if we can't beat them, do we have to join them to be successful?
I've always said, if we did what City did, and we did what Chelsea did, then I'd probably stop going to watch Arsenal. I would want us to win it with heart. I'd want us to win it with fight, and I'd want us to win it with what we have, and not just throw money at it, because that's not us, that's not our club, and that's not how we roll. So no, basically, I wouldn't want us to do that. It wouldn't be the same. I mean, look at Leicester. Just look at them. I mean, imagine if they win the league. Imagine their fans, how they will feel. Like, isn't that the way to do it? No?
Yeah.
And, you know, if we do it with these set of players, it will mean that much more because of what we've bloody been through this season.
Yeah.
You know, drawing to Norwich, going all the way to Norwich and watching us draw. And thinking... Sorry. Well, no, you know, going to Norwich and you think, do you know what, we'll get a result today. And then you draw 1-1 to them. Going to Southampton for the last 2-3 seasons and losing there and drawing there when we should be winning against these type of teams. So
it's the only other thing I want to ask, and Tom, I'll ask you this actually just quickly, because I'm curious. A lot of people said at the start of this season, and this is purely from a devil's advocate perspective, so before everyone lynches me, because I'm sure they will, because they won't actually listen to what I'm trying to say. But
Kevlar vest on.
Yeah. A lot of people said pre-season, I wouldn't mind if we don't win anything, but I want us to challenge, right? We are doing that as we speak. Don't get me wrong, we're doing a very good job of trying to not challenge right now, but over the course of the season, you know, we are challenging, you know, we are in that top echelon. And those same people now are saying that the mentality has changed. Those same people's mentality has changed. It basically went from the start of the season, I want us to challenge, and then all of a sudden we were in the picture and we, you know, we quote unquote shat the bed. Now all those people are now saying, no, I didn't say that. I'm saying we have to win it. It's basically, it's gone from we have to challenge to we have to win it, otherwise everybody, you know, sack the board, sack the coach, sack everybody, burn the stadium down. Do you think that maybe that's what's changed, that some people have almost forgotten where we were in August, or is that not true? I mean, what do you think?
Well, I think we're challenging. We're 5 points off the top. We're doing a brilliant job trying to fuck it up. And the only caveat is that there was a stat before the game today, and that was that we have the same amount of points now as we did last year. And you could argue, and I'm sure a lot of people will be arguing, that the only reason we are challenging is because everyone around us is so poor this season. But then you can also come back with that and say, well, we're not one of the teams that's unpoor. We're one of the teams that's up there and still challenging. We haven't dropped off like Chelsea and Man United and now Man City. I think that, as I've been saying, and a lot of fans have been saying, that the only way that things are going to be different is if the team collectively comes together at some point and talks it out and tries to find a solution to what's going on. Because to me, the issue is not just that we lack leaders on the pitch, is that we lack a plan B and a plan C, and even down to all the way using the alphabet, because we have one dimension all across the pitch, whether that's Ozil getting the ball on the edge of the box and whipping it in, or if it's Alexis going down the left-hand side and then cutting inside, which all the defenders know he's going to do, or if it's we lack goals on our right-hand side and always expect Bellerin to overlap and then leave us exposed on that side, and the same with Monreal as well, or our centre-backs going too far forward and giving away possession or passing to their fellow fullback just to put us under more pressure. We don't have a plan B. We don't have a second dimension where we can really go at teams. I do find it disappointing what you say about people changing what they feel about challenging. But I think that it's a really quite a loose concept this year in terms of using the word challenging, just because of the fact that we have the same amount of points we did last season, and the only reason we are challenging is because other people around us have been so poor.
Yeah. I think that's, again, that's perfectly fair. And again, as I say, I'm not saying I agree or disagree, but you know, my job as a host is to provoke sort of debate. That's what I've done. So yeah. Right, now we're nearly done tonight because, frankly, I feel like smashing my head against a brick wall repeatedly until I feel better. But and I've got another podcast to record, so sorry. But before we do, we'll just do a couple of questions. So if people have got questions, ping them across and try and make them interesting. Try and make them thought-provoking rather than just rants. That would be good.
Why are we such cads?
Yeah, absolutely. Tom, if you want to keep an eye on those as they come through.
Okay.
Just while we do that, I just want to get all of your views then heading into Saturday. Sadie, are you going, first of all?
I am going.
Oh, crikey.
Pray for me.
Yeah.
I have not been there for at least, I think the last time I went there was 2006.
Ouch. Well, the first thing to say is be safe, obviously.
Got out alive last time.
Have you taken out life insurance yet?
Yeah. No.
Ugh.
I just want to get all of your views then, just very quickly. Do we all sit round and have a collective group therapy session again on Saturday, or do we come out fighting? Sadie, do you go with more hope than expectation?
We come out fighting. I hope somehow, I don't know how, that we get something out of Saturday. We could come out and you know, do an Arsenal, like you said, and you know, turn it around and actually win. But the reality of the situation is that if we play like we did at United and a bit of today, they will take advantage and I just will crumble.
It's
like what Tom said. We have a plan A, and then that doesn't work, and then we don't have a plan B, and you just watch them just crumble, basically. It's horrible. It's horrific.
There's a thought. Ellis, what do you think? Do you see, you know, do you see us pulling an Arsenal, or do you see Spurs doing a Spurs?
The pessimist in me says it'll probably be like a 1-1 draw or something like that, just because I think Spurs will probably show a lot of fight. I don't know. I can't predict it. Pessimistically, I think we'll draw, but we could easily go on and win that and just cling on for a bit longer and get everyone open again just to fuck up against another team that's...
Who's home to West Brom, I was saying. Yeah, that's
exactly, yeah.
Something we probably do. Tom, do you have anything different to say on that?
On the Spurs game, this is the least confident I've ever been going to Spurs, I think, in my lifetime, which people mock me and say, oh, that's not very long. But I think it's obviously the fact they lost tonight really, it helps us a lot. I think the loss tonight is worse in terms of their mentality, because they've been on such a high for so long with a consistent winning of matches and also coming from behind, which they failed to do tonight, that they would have been stopped in their tracks and be like, oh shit, we can lose. Whereas we've obviously been on this such a low mentality, and we really need something to really turn it around. And if anything, you can count on us, as we've said many times, going there and thinking, right, we're against Spurs now. If there's something we actually need to get our spirits up and get our mentality flowing again, it's beating our most rivalous team, if you want to call it that word. So it's going to be hard. We've known that for a while. We don't want to give them too much credit because they're wankers, it's going to be tricky. Let's hope that something does finally go our way, whether that's a lucky penalty or an offside that wasn't an offside, and something goes our way for once. But I think it's going to take more than just what we have on the side to get a result there. I really do.
And if all else fails, we can just smash up the stadium again, I suppose. I'm joking, before anyone sues me. sorry.
People are going to edit that.
Sad, yeah.
I've got to lighten the mood somehow, haven't I?
I was going to say, it won't be me.
Of course, naturally.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll be none of us, and we're not for a minute suggesting people should do that, of course. Allegedly. Right, Very quickly then, a couple of questions. Marble Horse TV, I'm sad for Arsene. Do you, Chris, Tom, Ellis, Sadia, feel bad that he's gone from great to shit, did he say?
Yeah, did.
I think shit's a little bit harsh. I'll take that one just quickly. I don't think he's gone to shit. I do think that something has to change, whether it's him personally, whether it's the coaching staff that he works with, whether it's the players that he puts so much faith in. Something has to change. And trust me, well, I say trust me, I'm pretty sure, I'm pretty confident that he will feel pretty shit himself tonight, pretty shit himself. But yeah, that's probably a fight for another day. Everything reviewed, everything. We're at the same point in position wise as we were last year. Is it clear? Is it? Where's the second part of that question, Tom? I've lost it.
What's that? Sorry.
Everything reviewed, everything. We're at the same point. We're at the same point position as we were last year. Is it? And then that question cuts off.
I'll move on. I'll find it. I'll find it.
Okay, cool. Is it a narrative for the team that not winning, players aren't good enough, manager not good enough, should we be doing better? I can answer that one again. Yes, we should, basically. Here's a good one. Alice, I'll give you this one quickly. Andrew and Jelly, if we beat Spurs, will you be confident again? That's a great question.
It depends on the manner of how we beat them, I suppose. If it's a convincing win, then they'll have some sort of confidence, but it's not something I can see happening. So I think form goes out the window, really, in a North London derby. So winning that could give us the boost to perhaps put a good run of games together. And opposite to that, if we do lose, it might finally start getting our act together. I don't know. I don't know. I don't think it will give me the confidence, but
no. Yeah, but no. Oh, and it's an early kickoff. We all know we're really good at those, so that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Sadio, quick question here from Eason Don Fan TV. Does Joel Campbell have a future at the club? I wanted to ask you that because, again, you would have seen him in the flesh a bit more than we have. I think he's worth a shot. I don't think he's first team, first pick, but I'd rather have him than Theo right now.
Right now, yeah, definitely. I'd rather have him than Theo any day. I mean, when he started today, he gave us a lot of positivity. He gave us a lot of momentum. He was brilliant when he came on. I can't believe he took him off, to be honest. I know that there was a lot of boos and there was a lot of like, "What the hell are you doing?" kind of thing when he went off. He gave us a lot today, and I think he has got a future at the club, but then in another way, I think Wenger doesn't believe in him, and he only just brought him back because he kind of had to in a way. I don't know. But for some strange reason, like, Wenger has a strange relationship with some of his players, like Joel Campbell. I mean, Elneny is a new one, which I find very strange. I mean, if you're not going to play him, why did you kind of buy him just to sort of shut up Twitter?
I think he was bought as a project, and I think he kind of tried his best to... I agree with probably what you're going to say. You know, we needed somebody for now, not for... He was probably the signing he could come into the squad in the summer, but we needed somebody probably to come straight in. So I agree with you there. That's another question he would have to answer. Tom, I'll give you the last question because I am keeping other people waiting, so I'm sure I'll have to draw a line here. But this was a good question, just a bit of a random one, really. Everything reviewed, everything about the goalkeeper situation. So checks out for a long spell, well, could be a month, maybe, you think, with a hamstring. Are you confident in Ospina and Matt Macey? Do we need to recall one of our keepers? I don't think we can recall anyway, but what would you make of the situation now? I mean, everyone's going to mock Ospina now, which I think is silly because he's our player and we should get behind him, shouldn't we?
Yeah, the only thing he's done wrong this season is the Olympiacos thing, and obviously last season he made mistakes. But at the end of the day, I think he's quite a capable goalkeeper. Otherwise, we wouldn't have bought him. He's an international goalkeeper that's capable of making good saves. I think he's an adequate cover for Cech. So, at the end of the day, the people who need to step up if we have Cech injured is the defence, because they're the ones who've got to stop the ball getting to him in the first place. So hopefully Losing Cech is obviously going to be a big blow, but hopefully we can minimise that effect as much as possible. But I have confidence in Ospina to do the job, because I know that he has the capabilities of being a good goalkeeper. Otherwise, he wouldn't be here. So I have no problem with Ospina being in goal if it turns out Cech is out for a while.
Yeah, I agree. And we haven't really got much choice. So, you know, that's just the way it's going to be, unfortunately. That is how it is. Okay, well, we're done. We are done. I'm all asked out, I'm afraid. I think we should all get big medals and big chufty badges just for coming on and doing this tonight, because it's been tough. But it's what we do, you know, it's what we're here for. The apology I mentioned at the start of the show, you might have noticed I wrote a blog the last week, which I know a lot of people have given me some very positive feedback on, and I really enjoyed writing, and it was about how I felt that we could still win the title, and you know that we could potentially come back from this. And now I just want to say, if I jinxed it, I'm very sorry. I do apologise, but
you did.
Nobody tunes into this thinking I'm going to be the doommonger, because I try to be positive. It's tough, mate. It's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it. Right, okay. Well, thank you to everyone who's joined us. If you do want to read my blog, it's still up. Also, Simon Collins has written one on Lorica Shelley. That's also worth a read. And thank you very much, Lisa. That's very kind of you. Thank you. Love you too. But yes, we will. We'll still be here. We'll be here after Saturday. Oh God, Saturday. Oh. Christ on the bike. I'll be here. I can tell you he's going to be with me, actually. That'll be exciting for all of our listeners. But yeah, we will be back on Saturday, and we'll try and piece through. You never know, we might have something good to talk about. Let's hope, hey? I've got Carl and I've got John with me, and possibly one other. So we'll be back on Saturday. But
end with a song, so there's pressure.
End with a song. Okay, I don't think I can, to be honest. I'll leave that to Danny. He'll put a song on. Which reminds me, by the way, for those of you that don't like our show, that's fine. No worries. You know, nobody forces you to tune in. For those of you that do, we do put these out as a sort of a standalone podcast. You can get them via iTunes. They do come out on SoundCloud, of course. Danny does a little bit of wizardry, and you can listen to them in delay as well as YouTube. So if you can't join us live, you can listen back if you really want to listen back to this. So please feel free to do that. Myself and Tom are part of another podcast, which I'm sure most of you know already. So do give that a listen as well. And just thank you to everyone that's tuned in tonight. And thank you, Ellis. Thank you for coming back again, sir. We appreciate it.
Yeah, don't make me come back unless we win again.
It's fine, mate. It's fine. I'll wait till we lose another horrific game, and I'll pull you on for that just to go.
Cheers.
And Sadia, a fantastic debut. The first lady live on ABW Radio. We really, really appreciate you coming. Of course, not the first lady of ABW, because that's Kate, but the first lady on ABW Radio. So thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Really, really good. You're welcome anytime. Hopefully you'll come back again. So, and as I say, please be safe on Saturday. Don't take any shit.
Pray for me.
Yeah, we will be, and the team. And Tom, thank you for your kind administrational duties, and of course your input as well.
No problem. I have found a song, by the way.
Have you?
An apt song. It is very apt.
Okay.
I'll
let you play us out. Thank you to Danny and Gimli, as always, for giving me this platform to host. And we'll speak to you on Saturday. Keep it Arsenal if you dare. Have a good night, people. Bye bye. Always look on the bright. I know that was coming. For fuck's sake. We're out of here. Thank you, guys.